About My Mother by Taha Benjaloun. Taha Benjaloun's About My Mother is a profound, semi-autobiographical meditation on the slow decline of a matriarch, the nature of memory, and the intricate bonds of filial love within the context of Moroccan tradition. The narrative, translated from the French by Ross Schwartz and Lulu Norman, alternates between the narrator's present-day observations of his dying mother in Tangier, circa 2000-2002, and the hallucinatory recollections of her youth and three marriages in Fez, the present, a house of shadows and forgetting. The story opens with the narrator observing his mother, Lala Fatma, who has become a frail little thing with a faltering memory. She is confined to her home in Tangier, cared for by a paid companion named Keltamand, occasionally a nurse named Sinabor Rimu. Lala Fatma's reality is fractured. She frequently summons relatives who have been dead for decades, talking to them as if they are standing by her bedside. She is convinced she is still in Fez, the city of her birth, and often believes the year is 1944 rather than 2000. The narrator provides a visceral account of her physical deterioration. She has become incontinent and soils herself, leading to a loss of dignity that prevents her from performing her daily prayers because she feels unclean. She refuses to wear the pads Keltam buys for her, tearing them off and flinging them under the bed. Her mind lies scattered over the damp floor, and she repeatedly asks the narrator the same questions, such as how many children he has, which he answers in the same even tone each time to avoid upsetting her. A central figure in this domestic drama is Keltam, whom the narrator describes as hard, cynical and grasping. Lala Fatma is afraid of Keltam, sensing the woman's wicked thoughts, and fearing that Keltam might spank her or withhold her medication if left alone. Despite this, Lala Fatma acknowledges that Keltam is the only one who cleans up the stuff that leaks out of her, a task she would never ask of her sons. Over time, the relationship between the two women becomes a complex pact of dependency and friendship, with Keltam becoming indispensable for the mother's daily survival, the past, the traditions of Fez. As Lala Fatma's present-day awareness fades, she retreats into the damp folds of the past. Her memories focus heavily on the Fez Medina and the rigid social codes of her upbringing. She recalls being noticed at the Harman, where mothers traditionally chose wives for their sons. At age 15, she was married off to a man from a Chorva family, descendants of the Prophet. She describes herself at the time as a child who still played with dolls, yet she was told by her mother that the Prophet's favorite wife, Aisha, was married at 12. The narrator vividly reconstructs his mother's wedding night. A long night, an interminable night, where she was adorned in heavy jewelry and makeup, waiting in the dakchocha, bridal chamber. She was initiated by a Nagafa, wedding attendant, who gave her practical, albeit harsh, advice on how to submit to her husband, an absolute stranger. The blood on the white sarwal was the required proof of her virginity and her family's honor. Her first marriage was tragically short. Her husband, whom she describes as strong and handsome, was carried off by a typhus epidemic. Just before the daughter, Turia, was born. A widow at 16, she returned to her parents' house, convinced she was a harbinger of doom, or a victim of the evil eye, the three marriages. The book details Lala Fatma's three distinct marital lives, which she often confuses in her delirium. The first husband, a young man from a fine family in Fez who died of typhus, Sidi Abdulkram, a wealthy, much older man who already had a sick wife and four grown children. He treated Lala Fatma like a princess and a gazelle, forbidding her from working in the kitchen. She had a son, Abdulaziz, with him before Abdulkram died of old age, the narrator's father, Si Hassan, a spice merchant who was a close friend of her uncle, Sidi Abdislam. Si Hassan was neither happy nor satisfied with his first wife because she was barren. He married Lala Fatma on the condition that he would divorce his first wife once Lala Fatma became pregnant. The narrator's relationship with his father is portrayed as complex. Si Hassan was a thrifty man, often stingy, due to his unsuccessful business ventures, which made him bitter and jealous of others' wealth. He was a man of irony and sarcasm, who often teased his wife for being uneducated and illiterate. Lala Fatma reveals to the narrator that she was never happy with him and that the sun never shone during their marriage. However, she remained a servant to him, kissing his hand out of respect for tradition, even though his tongue hurt more than his hands, themes of culture and filial piety. A significant portion of the book is dedicated to the narrator's reflections on Moroccan values versus Western modernity. He contrasts his mother's condition with that of his friend Roland's mother, Zili, who lives in Lausanne, Switzerland. While Zilli is independent, plays bridge, and travels the world at 90, Lala Fatma has spent her entire life in kitchens and washhouses without ever learning to read or write. The narrator is deeply critical of the Western practice of parking elderly parents in nursing homes or hospices, which he views as dumping grounds. In Morocco, he explains, there is an almost religious reverence for our parents, and to refuse a parent's blessing is the most severe humiliation. He maintains a sense of filial love that is irrational and selfless, even when faced with his mother's emotional blackmail and increasing senility, the ritual of death. Lala Fatma is obsessed with her own funeral. She frequently demands that the narrator promise to arrange a sumptuous and lavish reception. She wants the house repainted, new tablecloths bought, and the best tolba, Quranic chanters, hired so she does not blush in her grave. This obsession is not out of fear of death, which she views as a right that God bestows, but out of a desire for a dignified exit that reflects her lifelong hospitality and social standing. She has a profound horror of the fridge. The morgue, a trauma stemming from the night her husband died and his body was kept in a glacial chamber. Her greatest wish is to die in her children's lifetime, and to be surrounded by them at the moment of her passing, the final decline and mokta. As the novel nears its conclusion, Lala Fatma's hallucinations become more intense. She begins to believe she has had a new baby, whom she names Mokhtar. Confusing a nurse's child with a son she lost in infancy decades ago. She attempts to breastfeed this imaginary child and refuses to give him back to his real mother. Her physical state continues to deteriorate until she is no longer able to speak, and her face takes on a strange pallor. The narrator describes the house as being sealed by an irreparable absence, even before she is gone. Lala Fatma finally passes away on February 4, 2002. Conclusion, the absence. In the aftermath of her death, the narrator reflects on the immense absence that fills the house. The objects she once cherished, the bow-legged table, the wheelchair, the rags used for cleaning, suddenly become useless and ugly. Keltam and Rimu gather their belongings and leave, with Keltam's departure marked by a final, nasty, demand for compensation beyond her farewell gift. The book ends with the narrator's realization that his mother is not in the grave he chose for her next to his father in Tangier. Instead, he carries her memory inside him, picturing her, young and beautiful, on the terraces of Fez, perpetually happy, and waiting to be complimented on the clean plates at the end of a meal she has cooked for her family. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.